Can I say one more time how happy I am to have all of you here today on the stage with me today? Isn't this wonderful? What a great joy. Grace, mercy, and peace from the triune God be with you all. So several years ago, I heard a pastor at another church. We were in conversation and we were talking about this in this congregation. They were talking about becoming a reconciling congregation. By the way, becoming a reconciling congregation, that means that as a congregation, we are joining a movement, we have joined a movement of United Methodists that stand in solidarity with LGBTQ persons, right? That support their, that support their full equality in the church. And it also means that as a congregation, we stand against the discriminatory language that is in our book of rules. So this pastor said, my congregation is getting after me because the reconciling process that we're doing in the church is taking so long. It's just going on and on and on. And one of the leaders took me aside and said, John Elford was appointed to University Church in July, and they became a reconciling congregation the next February. What's the holdup? And while that may literally be true, that timeline does not represent at all the work that many of you did here long, long decades before you became a reconciling congregation in 2011, 7 years ago. The times that you all wrestled as a congregation way back in the 70s and 80s to support your gay and lesbian brothers and sisters, your friends, in membership here, in leadership here in this congregation. The studies like Believe Out Loud and the small groups that you began back in the 90s and 15 years ago, the Sunday school classes, the United Methodist women's groups, the homerooms that became reconciling over 15 years ago. And so on this 7th anniversary, I am so full of gratitude for so many of you in the reconciling movement in this church who faced down opposition over the years, who overcame obstacles to create this reconciling congregation in a city that, while it's progressive on the outside, right, still has many pockets of prejudice and still has a lot of work to do on LGBTQ reconciliation and racial reconciliation, just to name two. I think I know why you did this. Did you read the sermon title? Yeah. Yeah, you did it for love. You did it for love. You did it because that expansive, boundary-breaking love of God demands it. You did it because love for neighbor demands that you love all of your neighbors, not just the ones who look like you. You did it because you understand that the gospel of Jesus' love demands the end of wall building, the end of stone throwing, the end of fear-based rhetoric about others. Amen?
Amen.
Over the decades, you did it for love. And because you did this reconciling work, which I really believe is God's holy work, that wild, expansive love of God has permeated the life of this congregation for the good, and University Church will never be quite the same. Think about it. Marching in the Pride Parade? Not a big deal for this community of faith. Hiring an out lesbian youth director? I can't even imagine those conversations happening in some of the churches that I know. When we were interviewing for a youth director and we were thinking about hiring Mary Ann, who is now M, I remember talking it over with the committee. I had some questions. I'd only been here for a year or so. We loved the joy, the passion that M brought to ministry. One of the members of the team was a youth parent. And I said, is this going to be okay with our youth and with our parents? And to his credit, The youth parents said, not only will it not be a problem, it shouldn't be a problem for anyone in this congregation. M was hired. The youth ministry thrived, grew under their leadership. By the way, I hope you noticed that we're still keeping in touch with M, and the liturgy today, the prayers, were created by M and enfleshed. You stood strong with me and with others against the awful so-called bathroom bills this year. We've tossed out our outdated Methodist sexuality curriculum, and we're using a curriculum created by the UCC Church and the UU Church. It's called OWL Training, Our Whole Lives. It's curriculum that's age-appropriate, it's especially sensitive to and unbiased about LGBTQ sexuality. And we've expanded that program so it reaches from kindergarten all the way to college. We're trying to get some adults interested in it, but no takers yet, but we're going to work on that. When folks are interested in joining University Church, I usually ask them, you know, what drew you here? What got you here? And there's one consistent thread that I've heard. I mean, people will talk about the choir, and they'll talk about the music, and they'll talk about, you know, sometimes the preaching, and, you know, other things like that. They'll say, you are a reconciling congregation. You are open to everyone. For folks who are looking for a church where they or their loved ones, their family, their friends, where everybody is going to be welcome, the pride flame that we put outside the building quite often, that's like a welcome mat. That's like an open door invitation. Being a reconciling church opens us up to college students and makes this a safe place for them to talk about their sexuality. Being a reconciling church makes us a safe and welcoming place, I hope, to host all of you during our worship service. And on it goes, friends. That love permeating the life of this community. So, you became a reconciling congregation when you were 124 years old. People don't usually make these kinds of decisions when they're getting up in years, you know? But you did. You did that. You're clearly not a people who want to just rest back on your laurels. And so I'm wondering today, and I hope you'll wonder with me, what is love calling us to do now? The scripture that we read from Matthew this morning, it may not be the one that you expected to hear on Reconciling Sunday. I know, Lisa looked at it and she was like, is this the right scripture for this? Yeah. It's Jesus at his most down to earth, right? I mean, he is telling it like it is to the disciples and to us. I like to think of it as a kind of a dare from Jesus, a dare. If you want to follow me, take up your cross. Now, you may lose your life along the way, but don't be afraid, because in losing it, you will find your life. Oh, yeah, right, Jesus, sure. I mean, for Jesus, we know what that meant. I mean, for him, it meant literal death on a cross. I don't think for a minute that Jesus is inviting us all to go out and get ourselves killed just to follow him. I think we can just set that aside. He is talking about that daily taking up of the cross. Those things that we are afraid of that are right in front of us. And we're invited to take them up, whatever they are. The fear of admitting that an addiction is eating away at your life, it's killing you. The invitation to take that up. The fear of a memory that you need to face that is just stripping your life away. The fear of standing strong for what you believe in. Oscar Romero is the martyred Archbishop of El Salvador. And he did not mince words when he offered this comment on saving your life and losing your life. Those who, in the biblical phrase, would save their lives, that is, those who want to get along, who don't want commitments, who don't want to get into problems, who want to stay outside of a situation that demands the involvement of all of us, they will lose their lives. What a terrible thing, he writes, to have lived quite comfortably with no suffering, no getting involved in problems, with good connections, lacking nothing, having everything, to what good? They will lose their lives. My friends, we're still part of a denomination that discriminates against our LGBTQ friends. You all know that. And you know that not a year goes by where some families write me an email or in a note, we just can't be in the United Methodist Church anymore. You know that there are families that Lisa and I will meet with from time to time who will say, you know, we love this church. We want to be a part of this. We love the mission and the ministry of this church, but we just cannot wrap our minds around being in a United Methodist congregation. You know, I probably shouldn't say that, all that stuff, but I think it's important for us to hear that. Would you agree? It's important to hear that because it's true. It's true. There's a bishop's commission that is trying right now, working on trying to find a way forward, United Methodist bishops and others. And they're trying to find a way forward for a denomination that is very divided on LGBTQ equality. There are some paths that they've suggested. The two most likely, I guess, maybe, would be the way forward for us may be a restructuring of our denomination in some ways so that churches who believe in LGBTQ equality can do their ministry and those who disagree can do theirs, and there's no fear of punishment or retribution. We just learn to get along. Another path forward that they're suggesting wouldn't really change anything much at all. Either way, restructuring or not changing anything, University Church is going to have some pretty big decisions to make in the next couple of years. And so what will we do for love? Here's Bishop Romero again. I know you just can't wait to hear the next thing that he says, right? You're like, okay. A church that does not provoke any crisis, preach a gospel that does not unsettle, proclaim a word of God that does not get under anyone's skin, or a word of God that does not touch the real sin of the society in which it is being proclaimed, what kind of gospel is that? What kind of gospel is that? How will we continue as a congregation to stand strong with our LGBTQ friends in these turbulent times? So I've been with you for almost 8 years now. I have great faith in this congregation that you will not give in to fear. You will not stay silent. You will proclaim and continue to live out the gospel of justice that unsettles. And you will continue to call out the sin of a denomination that treats LGBTQ persons as second-class citizens. Amen? And if our denomination doesn't change, I believe that you will have the courage to say, enough is enough, and that you will work with me to find a way forward for University Church. Amen? Amen. They don't usually clap this much during sermons, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I think it's because you guys are here, and yeah. You'll stand up for those who are on the margins. Not only because it's just the right thing to do, but because this is the path for healing. This is the way to abundant life for all of us and for this community of faith. you know that becoming a reconciling congregation is more than just simply tolerating others or accepting others who are different. It's about receiving everyone who comes our way as a long-lost friend, and then kind of stepping back and noticing how much more beautiful we are when our doors are truly wide open. On this journey together, my friends, we will have fears to face down. We will. But Jesus dares us to take up this cross, to take up this good work, and to follow anyway. It's the way to life, and we don't have to do it alone. We're going to do it together, knowing that God is with us. Thanks be to God and to God's ever-expanding love. Amen.